Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Can your past come back to haunt you? Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. And with me today to discuss this topic is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. We are going through the book, The Miracle of Forgiveness, written by Spencer W. Kimball, and we are continuing in chapter 12. We are looking at page 100. What page are we starting
168.
On today? 168. Mm-hmm. 168. Here's an interesting warning given by Spencer Kimball on this page. And he talks about the fact that you need to repent in this life. And let's go back to page 167, Eric. Yep. He says, repentance takes time. Repentance is inseparable from time. No one can repent on the cross, nor in prison, nor in custody. And as we discussed yesterday, Kimball did not believe that the thief on the cross was actually forgiven, regardless of the fact that Jesus said that he would be with him. But he says you cannot repent on a cross nor in prison, which makes me wonder, why do Mormons even try to address prisoners, especially if they have a life sentence? Why would you even want to talk to those people if what Kimball is saying is true? Because Kimball is under the understanding that a prisoner, whatever reason he's in there, doesn't have the opportunity to abstain or, you know, control himself from doing any bad acts. And let's say if he was a child molester, well, in a prison, he doesn't have the opportunity to molest other children, so therefore he could never demonstrate his repentance. So he says that you cannot repent in prison, nor can you repent in custody. One must have the opportunity of committing wrong in order to be really repentant. The man in handcuffs, the prisoner in the penitentiary, the man as he drowns or as he dies, such a man certainly cannot repent totally. He can wish to do it. He may intend to change his life. He may determine that he will, but that is only the beginning. Then he goes on to this statement by Melvin J. Ballard. He says, that is why we should not wait for the life beyond, but should abandon evil habits and weaknesses while in the flesh on the earth. I wonder if a lot of Mormons have really read this carefully, because how many times have we had Latter-day Saints say, well, no, I'm still involved in sin. I still struggle with sin, but that's okay, because after I die, I'm going to be able to make up for lost time in the hereafter. That's not what Kimball is saying they should be doing.
And listen to what Melvin J. Ballard said. A man may receive the priesthood and all its privileges and blessings, but until he learns to overcome the flesh, his temper, his tongue, his disposition to indulge in the things God has forbidden, he cannot come into the celestial kingdom of God. He must overcome either in this life or in the life to come. But this life is the time in which men are to repent. Do not let any of us imagine that we can go down to the grave and not having overcome the corruptions of the flesh and then lose in the grave all our sins and evil tendencies. They will be with us. They will be with the spirit when separated from the body.
All will be with us. He's paraphrasing from Alma 34:32, and we've discussed this in the past because there's a whole chapter in this book on that, on now is the time to repent. Mm-hmm. In Alma 34:32, it says, behold, this life is the time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And it states very clearly that you're supposed to prove yourself, prove your time while in this life, because then cometh the night of darkness wherein there can be no labor performed. So any Mormon who thinks that he can make up for lost time in the next life obviously thinks that labor can be performed in the next life. Yeah. You have to have an opportunity to resist temptation, as Kimball has said. How is that going to happen in the next life?
Yeah, and he makes that very clear in the next paragraph on page 168. He says, clearly it is difficult to repent in the spirit world of sins involving physical habits and actions. But like you said, Bill, so many Mormons that we've talked with think that they're going to be able to do this. Kimball continues and says, he can desire to change his life, but how can he overcome the lusts of the flesh unless he has flesh to control and transform? How can he overcome the tobacco tobacco or the drink habit in the spirit world, where there is no liquor nor tobacco, no flesh to crave it. Similarly with other sins involving lack of control over the body. So just like a prisoner who's in prison for the rest of his life, and so he can't truly show repentance, how can somebody in the next life show repentance if he doesn't have a body to be able to produce the sin that got him there in the first place?
Now here's my question, though. You see how Spencer Kimball makes it very clear that you better do it in this life. And he cautions against Mormons procrastinating their repentance. He quotes from Alma 35, which talks about what happens to those who do procrastinate. It says in verse 35, "If you have procrastinated the day of your repentance, even until death, behold, you have become subjected to the spirit of the devil. He doth seal you his. Therefore, the spirit of the Lord hath withdrawn from you, has no place in you, and the devil hath all power over you. And this is the final state of the wicked." My question to Latter-day Saints is this: if you find so repulsive deathbed repentance, how in the world do you expect us to say or to believe that you have no problem with post-mortem repentance? Doesn't that even seem worse?
I was going to say, it doesn't make even close a sense as a deathbed repentance. Deathbed repentance would seem to make a lot more sense, and yet they reject that.
Any Latter-day Saint who thinks that somehow they're going to make up for lost time, and again, folks, we're talking within the context of Mormonism here. Any Latter-day Saint who uses the excuse, "Well, okay, I'm not perfect now, but in the next life I'll be able to do that," challenge them and ask them, look them right in the eye and say, how in the world is that attitude not one of procrastinating your repentance?
That the scripture, that their
which
own scripture
the Book of Mormon
about.
Says, you better not do that. Right. Any Mormon who thinks he's going to make up for lost time in the next life is doing exactly what the Book of Mormon says they shouldn't do. They are, or I should say they have, a spirit of procrastination that somehow they don't have to do it now. They don't have to work on it now. And Kimball constantly goes after that kind of thinking. Of course, the problem we would have with Kimball is he gives the impression that the only way you're going to get this forgiveness is once you have purposely and willfully overcome all your own sins. What does that tell us? If I'm listening to a Mormon say that, when a Mormon says something like you have to keep all the commandments, well, what does that mean? Well, I think they're saying you have to keep all the commandments. If I keep all the commandments, then all of a sudden I'm prepared for the hereafter. Well, then you're never going to be prepared for the hereafter, folks, because it's never going to happen.
Well, in Mormonism, we talked about this yesterday as well, but he has a section on 169 that forgiveness is canceled on reversion to sin. According to Mormonism, there is no forgiveness that you can know you have right now. He says, old sins return, says the Lord in his modern revelations. And then going on page 170, after quoting D&C 82:7, which says, "Unto that soul which sinneth shall the former sins return, saith the Lord your God," he says a couple paragraphs later, and I think this is a key part of this chapter, "To return to sin is most destructive to the morale of the individual and gives Satan another handhold on his victim. Those who feel that they can sin and be forgiven and then return to sin and be forgiven again and again must straighten out their thinking. Each previously forgiven sin is added to the new one, and the whole gets to be a heavy load." Mormonism produces a heavy load because, Bill, I struggle with sin. I know a lot of people do. I'm sure you do as well. And this heavy load, he says, it's almost unforgivable because you're going to keep building this rut.
Isn't this another case of a mixed message to the Latter-day Saints? I mean, Joseph Smith certainly didn't teach a doctrine of constantly repenting. He thought that was bad thinking. Kimball certainly doesn't think that. But there are manuals that I have read that talk about how Mormons should repent every day. No, you shouldn't. Latter-day Saint, you shouldn't be repenting at all if you hope to meet the qualification of your own church. You shouldn't be repenting at all, because if you are repenting, it means that you are breaking commandments. And according to Doctrine and Covenants 25:15, you were supposed to keep the commandments continually, which I assume means there's not supposed to be a break in this time period where you don't keep a commandment. And if you're repenting, you're admitting that you have done just that. So I think it gives us this mixed message. this idea of that your former sins return, what this tells me is that the God of Mormonism cannot possibly be the God of the Bible, because the God of the Bible does not remember our past sins. There's more than one verse that testifies to this. Why don't you read a few of those, Eric?
Here's one, Micah 7:19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Never to be found again is what this verse is saying.
Well, and we look at Hebrews 8:12, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more.
He repeats himself, the writer of Hebrews, in 10:17.
He does. Well. Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now, of course, he's getting this from Jeremiah, from the book of Jeremiah. So here we have at least three times where he says, I'm not going to remember your sins. Well, that's not the God of Mormonism, because if the God of Mormonism is going to do what D&C 82:7 says, and says, and unto that soul whose sins shall the former sins return, it means that the God of Mormonism must remember what they are in order to bring them back upon the sinning Latter-day Saint.
So are you suggesting, Bill, that God must have the Mormon God has a hard drive with all those sins recorded
there?
They're
all there.
And they're ready to be put back into the judgment.
Which is kind of nice, because in Christianity, our God, when it comes to our sins, he reformats that hard drive.
Yeah.
It's clean.
As far as the east is from the west, that's what the Bible says, that our sins can be forgiven.
And so we can rest in knowing that God chooses not to bring our sins back up. And he's not going to remember them to bring them back into our face. That's not the God of Mormonism. According to Spencer Kimball, the Mormon God is just sitting there waiting for them to mess up, and then he's going to bring them back upon them.
And that's not the God of Isaiah. Isaiah 43:25 says, even I am he that blotteth out the transgressions for mine own sake, and will not remember thy sins.
The question is, folks, would you rather worship a God who chooses not to remember your sins, to forgive you completely as far as the east is from the west? Or do you want to put your trust in a God who's sitting there remembering what they are, waiting for you to mess up so he can bring them back upon you? I think you would be better off choosing the former rather than the latter.
Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When trying to understand the doctrines of our Latter-day Saint friends, family members, and co-workers, it can be very difficult to know what to believe. In his resource titled, In Their Own Words, A Collection of Mormon Quotations, Mormonism Research Ministry's Bill McKeever compiles some of the very best Mormon quotations that will help you better understand what LDS leaders and scholars have said on such issues as atonement, exaltation, and pre-existence. Written in an encyclopedic format, In Their Own Words provides quotes on literally dozens of issues, alphabetically listed for quick reference that can be found in a matter of seconds. No more wondering what Mormonism's leaders have said on any topic, and this resource is available in both book format as well as on CD disc. Just load the PDF file onto your computer and you're ready to do valuable research. These are the very best quotes that Mormonism Research Ministry uses on a regular basis. In Their Own Words is available now at mrm.org. Again, mrm.org. Get it today.